It's a TV show I do with Charles Gross, which reviews theater and indoor skydiving now.
Yeah, it's a bi-week. Well,
or my new television show, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Jeff Goodman's something. Addicted to theater.
Addicted to everything. Gambling, food, you name it. Jeff's addicted to it.
That's right.
All right. This time,
it's going to have to be addicted to travel. My cornucopia of travel show.
Nice. Anyway, it's 10:58 p.m. Time to leave Las Vegas. Leaving Las Vegas. And go into the place I like to be. It's called the Daverhood, and we go there every Sunday night at 11 for Dave's Gone By. Stay with us tonight because I'll be talking more to Jeff, but Rabbi Saul Solomon will be talking to author Neil Carlin, writer of The Story of Yiddish. Not to be missed, folks. I promise you that. So don't go away.
Can I sing a song?
Song of the Daverhood. Yeah,
I want to sing a song for one last time. Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. You must go. Viva. Viva Las Vegas. I love my trip.
Yeah. Keep it going. One more little quick.
Oh, well. Oh, due to some technical difficulties, I get an encore.
Exactly. Here we go.
Viva Las Vegas. Ooh, I love. Please send me tickets to go to Paris, Las Vegas. Or maybe the Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas.
Serving Long Island for over 80 years. Thank you for listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
You're listening to WGBB Freeport. You're listening to AM 1240 or AM 1240 WGBB.com. You're listening to Dave's Gone By. You're obviously a very lonely person. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I see flamingos in a fruit bite!
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the 268th episode of Dave's Gone By here on this Sunday night, April 13th, 2008. Going to have a really, really fun. Well, everybody says this, and I say this every week. It's going to be a fun show. Do you know why? Because, first of all, I'm here. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, journalist, humorist, theater critic, all that kind of good stuff. I'm here with my friend and guest co-host, Jeff Goodman, back from the wilds of Las Vegas. Say hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dave. Oh, wait. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, oh, yeah. Or you can say,
Say hey, Jeff.
Yeah, hey, Jeff is perfect.
And by the way, you forgot to say bon vivant.
Bon vivant. You or me? Who's the bon
We're
vivant?
We're both bon vivants.
Really? I'm a mal vivant. I'm more of a malcontent, so I'm more of a mal vivant.
Yeah. I'm a bon vivant.
You are. You are absolutely. You're a bon bon vivant. No, I don't know what that means. Sorry about that.
David.
Before we get to our sponsors, before we talk a little bit about your trip to Vegas, I do want to tell everybody what's going to be on the show. We've got Rabbi Saul Solomon is also going to be back in the house, in the bayit,
yay.
I should say. He'll be talking to Neil Carlin, the author of The Story of Yiddish, and it's a book not just celebrating the Yiddish language and Yiddish culture and all the funny phrases and words that came out of Yiddish, but also how the language itself kept Jewish culture together in the diaspora pre- and post-Holocaust, and even currently now, where it's had this huge resurgence. But it's not going to be that dramatic or serious a conversation because Rabbi Saul Solomon's involved. So that's tonight on Dave's Gone By in just a few minutes. And then Jeff and I will come back and we're going to do Inside Broadway. So much Broadway news that we haven't had time to tell you over the past couple of weeks because we've got such busy shows. So stick around for that, and we'll also be reviewing a couple of Broadway shows. Should be fun here on Dave's Gone By, as we do every Sunday night. Now, before, let's do the sponsors, and then we'll talk about Vegas a little bit.
Okay, Dan.
The sponsors of this program are Hewlett Minuteman Press.
The Copy Kings of Broadway.
So you go away a week and you lose a step. Yes, it's the Copy Kings of Broadway, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island. 10% off any job, big or small, if you mention Dave's Gone By.
And how could I forget MortgagesRock.com?
How could you forget that? Where to either get financing for mortgages, for college loans, for rebuilding your house, or where you learn to be a broker and you get the commission. MortgagesRock.com. And how about Performing Arts Insider, which is
the Bible of Broadway.
For 65 years, the place that people in the Broadway industry and in all media industry turn to find out what's on and off Broadway, how to contact the people involved when things are opening, closing, moving, who are the cast, the designers, the tech, all of it in Performing Arts Insider. Easy to read. Fun to read, fun to use. Go to PerformingArtsInsider.com for more information. And brought to you by Fancy.
Fancy's Mancy Balloons.
Which Jeff, it's his company, he owns it. And what do you do, Jeff?
We make parties for people.
You make parties look good for people. Because you do
excellent parties.
Balloons and centerpieces. And explain, you know, if you had told me you did centerpieces, I wouldn't have known what the heck it was.
You ever been to a bar mitzvah with these gorgeous centerpieces?
What does it mean? I think of flowers in a bowl.
No, these are all theme pieces. They're very decorative little items.
Okay, and sometimes in a theme like, what are recent themes that you've
done? Sports themes, New York theme, you name it, we'll theme it.
So that's Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229. Ask for Jeff, 516-797-3229. And also, our newest sponsor, yay, Neva, Eastern European Delicacies, Neva, located at 1239 Broadway in Hewlett. It's only a couple blocks away from Hewlett Minuteman Press. You can get such wonderful, delicious things there, like sunflower seeds from Israel, all kinds of sausages and special desserts, and things from the old country, the old, old country at Neva on Broadway in Hewlett.
I love old sunflower seeds.
Yeah, and go to Stephen and tell him Dave sent you to Neva for Russian and Polish and Bosnian, that kind of,
you know,
those kinds of groceries.
They should always go to Neva.
Not never go to Neva. Always
go
to Neva.
There we go. My little play on words.
We're working on it there, yeah. Also brought to you by Performing Arts Insider. Shalom, damn it. Rabbi Saul Solomon's show, since he's going to be
a guest. We have so many sponsors, we hardly have any time for the show.
No. Well, I'll just tell you that Shalom Damek airs Wednesdays and Fridays at 7:30 a.m. on Channel 115 on Long Island Cablevision. 7:30 in the morning, Wednesday and Friday on Channel 115. Or if you're listening to us in New York City, you can see him on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, Channel 67, Sundays at 1:30 in the afternoon. And remember, you can see all the Rabbi's episodes at YouTube.com anytime at all. And finally, I want to tell you that you can hear episodes of Dave's Gone By now on WGBB's website. They've been archiving and podcasting, finally, after all these years, for not just my show, but a couple of shows on the station.
Well, you know what?
Are being archived. Yeah.
They can't wait for next week. It's episode 269.
Yeah, which means, is that a naughty number because of the, or no?
It's the episode 269 on.
Yeah, so?
Isn't 69 like a sexual thing?
Well, but what's the 2 have to do with it?
Well, that means you go do it.
It's like the bingo thing. When I went to see Gay Bingo when we were in Dallas, Texas.
You ever had Gay Bingo?
In Dallas, Texas, because I didn't know what the hell it was going to be. I talked about this on the air. And so Joyce and I went, it sounded funny. It sounded like Gay Bingo. And one of my big things before going was, gee, I'll bet something happens when they say 069, like just as a joke. And what do you know? When you go to Gay Bingo and they say, they pull the number and it's 069, everybody goes, woo! Honest to God. That was the only really fun thing about Gay Bingo. The rest of it was kind of awful. Did you win? No, we didn't win. That's also one of the reasons it was awful. But we didn't even stay for the last game. We just got the hell out of there. It was kind of boring. Not particularly well run.
Did they have lesbians there?
well, male lesbian, what do you call it, transvestite. It was all transvestite calling bingo. And they would say some funny jokes, but it just was endless. It was totally not my thing. I was so disappointed. Oh, well.
They did an OB5?
You got a free bag of chips. Well, they had the OB method there, maybe.
What?
What is OB? Oh.
OBHAVE.
OB.
OB5.
Oh, you're the numbers guy. So that's the rest of the night. You'll be thinking of all these different number concoctions.
OB1 Kenobi?
Yeah. No, 1, 2, I don't know. Anyway, do you want to talk about Vegas? I will do it now.
I have to tell you, my biggest, you know.
Why do you keep, because you're bringing the, you're bringing the microphone down to the computer, okay.
Yeah, you know what my biggest problem in Vegas was?
What was that? Wait, I got to make it louder. Were you robbed?
Well, along with a lot of other people, I've been robbed.
I mean, really?
You have to get that in at least once an episode. I know.
I had a wonderful trip to Vegas.
Tell us the quick version.
Oh, I went with one of my great friend's mother, Joyce Baxter, and I went to Vegas, and we had a fabulous time celebrating her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
We saw 3 shows. We saw the Folies Bergère, which was fine, and we saw
Danny Gans, which was disappointing.
It was okay.
Why was he better on Broadway than he was in Vegas?
Because it was more of what I liked. You know what I mean?
In Broadway was.
The Broadway. Yeah. This is more of his Broadway show is a very specific show to Broadway enthusiasts and stuff. So that was like a caramel fudge sundae thing. This is a vanilla ice cream show.
I get it.
And everyone likes it, and he's very good. But it was all right. Then I went and saw Rita Rudner.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't sure. You know, I like her, but, you know, I thought it maybe be okay. She was hilarious. I had such a good time at her show.
And you had, like, VIP seats. So
oh, yes, we had VIP seats. We got to meet her before, take a picture with her, talk to her. It was just lovely.
And she was really sweet. And I mentioned earlier, or in the pre-show, that it surprised me that the VIP people get to meet her before the show. If I were a performer, I would never want to meet really anybody before the show.
She's really a nice lady.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Really, and very skinny. Really skinny. Well, you know, she used to be a dancer.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, she was a dancer before she was a comedian.
Do you remember any of her jokes?
I do, but I don't want to say them because I just wouldn't do them justice.
Okay.
Maybe we could get her to come on the show one day, and she'll do her
jokes. I'll invite her. Rita, you're invited. Please come on Dave's Gone By.
Because I do think she'd do it because she just seemed like such a nice young lady.
Oh, cool.
And she really does. I'm telling you, I'm now a very big fan of hers. It was a very entertaining evening. Joyce also had a good time.
And what else did you do?
Gamble.
In fact, you did really well for a little period of time. And the usual Vegas person,
threw it all back.
Yeah.
I decided to donate it back to those casinos.
Oh, that was so magnanimous.
I really enjoyed it. But I love gambling. I will tell you, I love the Paris. Paris is like probably one of my favorite places to gamble.
Mm-hmm.
I did like Harrah's, where Rita Rudner is playing. I did enjoy gambling at Harrah's. They were very nice there. We stayed at the Imperial Palace, which was a lovely hotel. We stayed in the nicer tower at the Tropicana, which was nice.
Okay.
And by the way, I must tell you that the Imperial Palace is totally redone. So for those of you who've had inexpensive rooms at the Imperial Palace and thought they were old, now they are. My bed was brand spanking new, as was
until you got through with it.
Well, you know, yeah. Then I
were spanking. Yes, thank you so much.
So
something just occurred to me. I mean, it's totally off. Well, it's not totally off topic, but what do people do about taxes when? Like, if you go to Vegas and you win, do you have to declare that?
Oh, if you win over a certain amount of money, you get a check. And then you get a lovely a 1040 for it.
But under a certain amount of money, they don't
not
notice?
1040, something else. Yeah, you have to pay taxes on your
money. You have to declare
over a certain amount.
Can you deduct your losses?
Sure you can.
So Vegas losings are tax deductible?
Absolutely.
Oh. No wonder so many rich people squander so much money there. And it's like giving away a sofa, you know, a man or a speaker, or something like that.
It's not a charitable donation.
Oh, so it doesn't count on that. It just counts as a business.
You know what it is? It's like if you make money in the stock market or you lose money in the stock market. Because if you're going to be taxed on your winnings, you should be able to take credit on your losses, right?
Well, yeah. So, yeah, and everybody's obviously got tax on the brain because Tuesday is April 15th, so... figured I'd get that little question in there. So any last thoughts about Las Vegas?
I think everyone should go. It's a wonderful place. And like I said, I hope Rita will be one of our guests soon.
That'd be nice.
And
you lucked out also mostly with the weather. You said at one point it was really hot.
The weather was always great. It didn't. I think it rained a couple of drops while we were indoors.
If it was raining a couple of drops, I would have run outdoors just to feel it. I'd be like, oh, rain, wonderful. What?
I don't know. Why would you want to run out in the rain?
No, I hate the rain. But if it's 150 degrees...
You hate the rain, so you'll run outside to go...
In a horrible hotness of
But Vegas, it's all indoors. It's like, I'm telling you, indoors in Paris is so gorgeous because you feel like you're in a moonlit night in Paris. It's just all that ambience is so wonderful. The shops are all like walking down the street. Oh, it's lovely.
Oh, cool.
And then, you know, and all the theme places. I mean...
I'm glad you had such a marvelous time, man.
And Caesar's Palace, too. Send some free rooms. Compass room. David, I would love to go.
Hail Caesar. Give us some free stuff. That would be nice. Hail Caesar or anybody. Steve Wynn, if you're listening.
The Wynn is the most gorgeous. I didn't get to the Wynn this time. It is the I forgot to. We didn't even mention it the last time.
Well, we're mentioning it now.
What a gorgeous, gorgeous hotel. And they just built a second hotel. A sister hotel to the Wynn. I forgot what it was
called. The Luz.
Oh, no, they're building one. They built the second hotel to the Venetian.
Oh.
Which is where the Jersey Boys are playing now.
Okay.
It is called... Hold
on. Hoboken.
Hold on. The Palazzo.
Oh, excuse me.
And the Wynn is building a second hotel.
Cool.
And beautiful. Just a gorgeous hotel.
Thrilled that you had a great time. Happy to have you back.
We would love to have them sponsor us.
Any of these Vegas people, if you're listening to the show, you know, Jeff and I would love to go.
We'd spend several episodes in your hotel.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Just keep putting us on.
And we'll pay for the room service. It's okay.
No, you'll pay for the room service.
Oh, you want them?
I'm too cheap.
You need to have room service included?
Well, I'm not going to get room service. I don't order room service. Well, my wife likes to once or twice if we go away. I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay 35% extra for a meal to have it served in bed. I want to go down to a restaurant and eat.
Okay.
That's me. Anyway.
You're gorgeous. And every place is gorgeous. Things
you are
so
gorgeous.
Much
I'm gorgeous. Everybody's gorgeous, ladies and gentlemen. And you know who's the most gorgeous of all? Because he has the glow of Hashem in him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about, no, not Carol Channing. I'm talking about the glorious and the mystical and the magical.
Along with a lot of other people
having rock. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rabbi Saul Solomon, who will be interviewing Neil Carlin, who is the author of The Story of Yiddish. And it's a pretty cool book. It's a mix of, obviously, the phraseology and the beauty and the funniness of the Yiddish language, but also its story. Now, it's kept kind of our people, my people, and Jeff's people, together for decades upon decades in the Galus, as
your
they
people.
Say. I'm sorry?
My people are your people?
Some peoples speak English. No, I got to work on that one. That's really, really bad. But it gets better, ladies
and
gentlemen.
That was kind of a maimed gypsy.
A maimed gypsy, We'll be back with more of Dave's Gone By and the Rabbi right after this. What's black and white and red all over? Photocopies made at Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. Any job that you have, including black and white copies, and they've got a brand new color copier, great quality, good prices, wonderful family that has owned Hewlett Minuteman Press since the 1970s. So check them out, 516-569-5577, Hewlett Minuteman Press. They're the kings. Have you ever seen so many Russian delicacies? Never! Such quality sausage, fish, yogurt, pastries, candy. Never! And do you have to go to Brighton Beach to get it? Never! Never! The new Eastern European Grocery in Hewlett, 1239 Broadway, opens 7 days. Look for the Cyrillic on the awning, 516-295-3892. 295-3892. They'll have you Russian back for more.
Is it a place to see it that you select to see it? voudrais sortir avec. Mais quel jingle de bon. Oh, je suis. Oui, c'est good. Like my mama, she said, it's good. Oui, c'est good. I saw me hot the room. Oui, c'est good. Sign a ball of wolf.
Shalom, shalom, damn it, my friends, my freilich friends. Oh, I have such wonderful news for you on this episode of Dave's Gone By, where Dave has been kind enough to allow me to conduct an interview, even after all the many, many delightful interviews that I have ruined in the past few years. But this, he figured no one would be more apt, more appropriate to do this particular conversation than yours truly, Rabbi Saul Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And that is because I have an author, one of my all-time favorite authors, besides God, who wrote the Torah. But after him, we're talking with Neil Carlin, the author of The Story of Yiddish, How a Mishmash of Languages Saved the Jews, published by William Morrow Books. But we don't have him tomorrow. We have him right now on the radio, on the telephone. Hello, Neil Carlin. Shalom.
Rebbe, shalom. I must say, you're a mishuganer, and I do not go to your temple because, as you know, every Jew has to belong to two synagogues, one they go to, and one they wouldn't be caught dead in.
Right, so
bum-bum.
Couldn't mine be the one you're going to be caught dead in?
You know, we hear rumors. We hear rumors, you know, about you and some members in the choir, and I don't want to go any further, you know, but let's just say you might want to change the subject.
As long as you pay the membership dues, you don't have to. In fact, we would prefer you wouldn't. If you pay the dues, that's good enough for us.
Well, you know,
we'll save you a chance.
I hear the Chassids, they don't have money. They schnorr it from, as if you remember Groucho Marx singing, "Did Someone Call Me Schnorr?"
I'll never forget it.
You know, from my temple, Temple Beth Yehupitzville, which is across the block from yours, but
Temple,
you know,
Beth Yehupitzville.
Two, three opinions. I can't cross the street.
Isn't that under a hardware store? I saw that. I noticed that. Anyway, let's talk about your book. Let me do the jokes. You'll talk about the book. All right, here we go. The Story of Yiddish. First of all, why did you want to, didn't Leo Rostin cover this like 30 years ago? What are you adding to the picture?
Well, Leo Rostin was I think he was a great guy, but his was a lexicon, a dictionary, a here's the difference between putts and yuts. And this is a narrative story of how
this is how putts became yuts eventually.
Yes, and it was always looked down upon, even by the Jews. It started as you know, there's that book Born to Kvetch, and
I know,
that's
I
what Yiddish
live
is.
That.
What's that?
I am born to kvetch. I live that book.
But I think he was dead wrong, because I don't think Jews were born to whine. I think the right song was Born to Run, that Yiddish was based on, you know, the Springsteen thing, because it was the language of exile. And it's just the most beautiful, sad, funny language on earth. It's a language of magic and loss, not of fetching. Because if all Jews did was whine over the centuries, they would have never made it. And what's interesting is how Yiddish has gone into the vernacular. The biggest commercial of the year was for Gatorade, with Harvey Keitel saying Schmendrick on the TV show Stacked.
Oh, and, I missed that.
Jenny McCarthy, in an episode, says to Pamela Anderson, "We're all mishpacha," which is family. "Don't be a mishuganer," which is, you know, crazy. But I live in Minneapolis, where there are no Jews, and it's hysterical to see people who talk like Fargo. Oh, yeah, there, don't you know. Going, "Oi, I got to schlep this, don't you know?" I mean, it's just gone into the, you know, right in there. Yuts, putts, schmutz. It's the SH words are good. They're a little filthy, but...
Oh, yeah, that's why I like them.
Yeah, but you can't say them on the pulpit.
But where did it come from? Did it come from German, or did it come from English, or Latvian? What was it?
It came from it's literally made up of 25 languages. Every place the Jews got kicked out, they picked up a few words, and they traded a few words. So they now count 25 languages in it, not counting American Western, where a stick-up is. In Yiddish, you say, "Hold up the hands, please." So it's a beautiful language. It was put down for so many years because Holy Hebrew, the Torah dictated by God to Moses was always the holy language, where Yiddish was for the ignorant, the barnyard rabble, the yentas gossiping. And it was tried to be stamped out even by the State of Israel because it was the ghetto language. So they you know, it's the worst part. So Leo Rostin, it was very controversial.
He wrote a book called The Joys of Yiddish, as opposed to the Goys of Yiddish, who are like Pamela Anderson now.
Now, you know, Goy, I was surprised, is not a slur. But the word shiksa is a slur. Another Rebbe here, Rabbi Manus Friedman, who actually turned Bob Dylan, this is true, back into a Jew. He's the only Hasidic rabbi to be in Rolling Stone. This is true. You know, he said, you know, goyim just means world, you know, everything out there. But shiksa, he said, is a terrible slur which you should never use on anybody. And I said, well, what does it mean? And he said, it's so horrible, I can't even tell you.
Oh.
So it's a terrible word, but I can't tell you why.
Well, wait, what about shagits?
Well, shagits is not so bad. I don't know how horrible that translates either, but, you know, it's a matriarchy here. So if your son marries a non-Jewish woman, caught myself there.
Right.
Your grandchildren will not be Jewish, but if your daughter marries a shagits, a non-Jewish male, your grandchildren will still be Jewish. So it's I'll use the word here. You know, the shiksa goddess is the nightmare of every Jewish mother.
That's when the shiksa hits the fan, is what you're
basically
saying.
Oh, the shiksa hits the fan. And,
so, but you were saying
if you've ever had the shiksa at your house and 12 Jews looking at them, but it's a universal.
I wish I had some shiksa at my house. Let me tell you. But no, what about Leo Rostin again? You were going to say something about him and what he was working on.
I think he did a terrific service because, you know, Jews wanted to get away from Yiddish. It was an embarrassment. I remember my grandparents, who I never understood, just seemed so old world. And this sort of brought it back. Whenever I have non-Jewish friends who are, like, working in Hollywood, I send it to them so they'll understand. And, you know, there is the phrase in Hollywood that's been around for 50 years, think Yiddish, cast British.
Damn it.
And it's true. It's true. And
But the thing about why Yiddish is not necessarily a dying language like Latin or Swedish is that the Orthodox at some point picked it up. What happened with that? All the young Orthodox, the real Chosids that we were talking about, they're speaking Yiddish. Where did that come from?
Well, you know what it is? It's the Chosids wanted to stay as far away from possible from all the modern temptations, even be it in the 1880s, you're not supposed to watch television, you're not supposed to watch movies. So it's a way to sort of separate themselves even further from society, which is actually how Yiddish started during the First Crusades. The Crusaders were going around, you know, practicing their chops, literally, on Jews. So the language started morphing so Jews could get away and have their own way of talking.
Wow.
It's sort of how African Americans invented jive, which is now known as
Ebonics, but I know the
African American English vernacular.
That's what my homies talk like.
Yeah, well, have you heard the thing? You know, well, there was that song by the rap group, "Oh, I'm so horny," and then Two Live Jews recorded the song "Oi, It's So Humid." so it's. It's a universal language, and I get such a thrill. Leo Rostin wrote this thing about how with Jews...
Don't make me pop a cap in your tuchus. That's the...
You know, Yiddish has the filthiest phrases. People go, oh, it's a filthy language, but it's not. It's actually a very shy language, so they had to invent these incredible metaphors for... Can I use examples
Please.
That may not be PG? The phrase for someone has a sexual transmitted disease... Aye. Is Erhatten de Hoisen a Yarid, which means he's got a carnival in his pants, which is a much better, you know.
I never heard that. That's wonderful.
If someone's good in bed, you say, she really knows how to dance the mattress polka. Because there are no words in the actual language. It's a very shy language, so... It's funny because they've got...
My dear wife, Miriam Libby, barely does a two-step, let me tell you.
You know, roll out the barrel as a new meaning. And, but it's...
Well, what are some other phrases? Some kooky, funny, great Jewish curses or phrases or descriptions?
It's, I'm thinking there are so many. My favorite, it's also heavily philosophical. My favorite is, it sounds German, but it's not. There's always a weird word that no German can understand. But this is philosophical. Mensch tracht, Gott lacht. Man plans, God laughs. Which I think we could always...
My parents have been using that phrase. Any, you know, you plan things, you go, want to go away for something, you want to, and then a relative dies.
Yes.
That's it. Man makes plans, God goes, heh heh, puh.
One of my favorite things is the Yiddish speakers in Russia, the peasants like my family, they had a very close relationship with God. It wasn't like, oh, if you saw Fiddler on the Roof, you know.
Who hasn't seen Fiddler on the Roof?
It was a toe-tapper. But, you know, yeah. Zero Mostel going, talking to God and going, hey, couldn't you pick someone else to be chosen for a while? And there's the Yiddish phrase, if God lived on Earth, all his windows would be broken.
I love that. That's beautiful.
It's sort of like he's an underachiever. You know, in Yiddish, he's an underachieving good. You know, it's like we could use a miracle now. You know, what have you done for us lately?
Pretty much all they did for us lately was give us 30 rock.
Yeah.
That's about all I can think of in the past 10 years.
But finally, it's, you know, and it's always been put down as, this is a dialect. It's not really. And Max Weinreich, the big scholar, he said, a dialect is a language without an army or a navy, which is what Jews didn't have until Israel. And they, of course, wanted to, you know, repress this.
And what is Yiddish treated now like in Israel? Is it really accepted? Is it, you won't see signs. You won't see road signs going, 2 miles.
No, they loathe it. They hate it because to them it symbolizes, you know, World War II, the Jews supposedly walking into the gas chambers. So a lot of these Eastern European Jews who came to Israel at the beginning, they changed their name from, you know, Isaac Mechuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchuchu going to be the new strong Jews, not the weenie Jews of the ghettos who could just be slaughtered. And so it's been put down. You know, what Hitler didn't accomplish, assimilation in America,
you didn't
want to sound like your grandparents, and Israel almost took care of. It's quite a group of, you know.
Have you ever been to Israel?
Yes, I have. And no one understands Yiddish. I teach college sometimes, and there's a Hebrew teacher who is from Israel. He doesn't understand a word of Yiddish. And what's cool about Yiddish is it kind of stopped after a while, so there's no words for tanks, guns, ammunition. It's about hope. And that's nice to have a language that doesn't have atomic bomb in it.
Right. Does it have prostate in it?
Oh, listen. Oy. Oy.
Just making sure that's a word I use a lot. Ah, fine wine, great books, priceless antiques. All that's missing is something to listen to. But of course, episodes of Dave's Gone By, the music, the comedy, the perceptive talk, entire shows preserved on compact disc, any episode you choose, just $11, shipping included. No home is complete without Dave's Gone By on CD. So visit davesgoneby.org because you're worth it.
This is Neil Carlin, author of the new The Story of Yiddish, How a Mishmash of Languages Saved the Jews. And I'm here on Dave's Gone By. There is a mensch. He is a mensch, as is all of WGBB.
We're talking, by the way, with Neil Carlin, author of The Story of Yiddish, How a Mishmash of Languages Saved the Jews. We just have a couple of minutes left with the wonderful Mr. Carlin. So this is not your first and only book. In fact, you wrote a book called Shanda, which is a Yiddish phrase in itself.
Yes, my mother never forgave me because on the cover, I didn't put this. I was the Shanda. It was called The Making and Breaking of a Self-Loathing Jew, and they had the back of a guy's head wearing a yarmulke with a pig on it. And my mother made Oliver Shalom. That almost, I still think I might have done her in. But this, and I've also done, I like subcultures. When I was at Rolling Stone, I wrote a book about the music industry. I followed Bill Murray's minor league baseball team around. I did a rock and roll, other rock and roll, and suddenly I said, you know what, maybe I should write about my own people. So I was about to become a rabbi, and instead, at the last second, I became a Rolling Stone writer. And it's a long story, which I'm sure you don't have time for.
Well, the brief version, because, I mean, you called yourself a self-hating Jew. Are you still? How did you get over that? I'm a Jew who hates everybody else, and I tolerate myself. How do you hold up with that?
Yeah, I was actually more self-loathing than a self-loathing Jew. It just suddenly became, I'd never eaten bacon before I was 22. I ate it, and suddenly I was a bacon slut. I'd never gone out with a non-Jewish woman until I was 22. Suddenly, I was going out with people in the National Socialist Party. I was married and divorced from... This is true.
Wait a minute. No, that's not true. You were not dating a Nazi.
This is true. People talk this way in the Midwest. I got married... I was briefly to an Icelandic, and at the wedding, 10 minutes after we married, her grandfather said to my father, who was telling a story, "You should have Jewed them down." These phrases still exist here.
Oh,
I'm not kidding. But out here, think of Jews from Minnesota, Bob Dylan, the Coen brothers. No one knows what we're doing here, but we're here. Thomas L. Friedman of the Times. Whoa. They're all from...
Well, maybe if we have to give Israel back to the Arabs, and not back to them, but to them, and we can all move to Minnesota.
I think
the winters aren't nice, but, you know.
Yeah, we had 7 inches of snow 3 days ago. I went to the ball game and, you know, weeping for you stealing Johan Santana, and there were 7 inches of snow outside.
Well, we exaggerate. It was probably 4 inches, and you
look
know
it
how
up.
Judge
As
Man...
Casey Stengel said, you can look it up.
Well, everybody, look up The Story of Yiddish, How a Mishmash of Languages Saved the Jews, published by William Morrow Books, and by the delightful Neil Carlin. Neil, would you come back again and give us some more Yiddish things?
I would love to. And the book isn't just jokes. It's a story, but there's a sense of humor and irony. So Moses is as important as Sandy Koufax.
Oh, he is in my book. Well, maybe Hank Greenberg.
Well now there.
We'll discuss.
I mean, this is the pantheon.
Neil Carlin, thank you so much for being with me in the Shalom Dammit neighborhood.
You're a mensch. I always said it. No matter what anybody said about you, I always defended you.
Oh, well, they were true, but I have my good points.
Yes.
I wish, I hope, I pray. And when you really wish and hope and pray, luck is bound, you come around your way.
Shalom, damn it! This is Rabbi Sol Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And I personally invite you to watch my TV show, Shalom, Damn It! Rabbi Sol Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, every Wednesday and Friday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision Channel 115. If you've never seen a Jew before, this is your chance! Shalom, Damn It! 7:30 Wednesday and Friday mornings, Channel 115, or in Manhattan, Channel 67 Sunday afternoons at 1:30, or anytime, anywhere on YouTube. Shalom, damn it! You have my blessing! Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. And many thanks to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway that brings us inside Broadway every week. Or at least we kind of got a little recalcitrant and I want to say lazy because we're so busy doing other stuff. But
you were recalcitrant?
Well, you weren't here last week, and then the past few weeks we've just been so busy with other things on the program.
We've been jam-packed with entertainment, Dave.
So this time we don't have so much entertainment. So we have room for theater. We have room for a look inside what's happening on and off the stages of New York.
And just like Jell-O, there's always room for theater.
Oh, I feel that way. And especially this time of year, because now it's really starting to get crowded up.
It's blossoming on Broadway.
Do you know that next Monday or Tuesday already they're going to be announced the nominees for the Outer Critics Circle? We're at that stage already. We just got through winter, and already it's award season, which means everything's going to be opening, and it really becomes
that's
a real
crazy
crush.
Yeah,
well, the Tonys don't get nominated until middle of May, and then the Tony Awards
like
are the 15th. I mean, enough. Let's get to the news of theater, which include a lot of the things that are going to be happening next season on Broadway, including a Broadway revival of August Wilson's drama, Fences.
Isn't that going to be fun?
One of the plays that put him on the map. Well, it's actually a good...
It was a Pulitzer Prize. It was wonderful.
And do you know who's going to direct? Another Pulitzer Prize winner for a show that I did not like nearly as much as Fences, Top Dog Underdog.
Oh.
Suzanne Laurie Parks is the one who's going to be chosen to direct this revival of August Wilson's Fences. It's a play set in the 1950s, and it which means that it falls right in the middle of August Wilson's 10-play cycle. You know, he wrote a play for every 10 years of the 20th century, most of them set in Pittsburgh, as this one is. And again, it was written in 1987, won the Tony and the Pulitzer, and you know who won for actor? He's on Broadway now.
Oh, James Earl Jones.
Of course, James Earl Jones is currently doing Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. So look for Fences next season. They haven't picked the dates of the theater yet, but it's happening in late 8 or 09. Also, a show that you kind of like, we both kind of like, The 39 Steps is going to reopen in, today. It reopened today on Broadway. Because what happens, it moved. It had to leave the theater it was in.
The American Airlines, and it moved to the...
Court.
Court,
smaller theater, much probably better suited.
The Lyceum, though.
No, something else is going into the. I think.
Oh,
I'll even tell you what that is if I can find it on this page. But it played till the end of March at the American Airlines to make room for Les Liaisons Dangereuses. Pardon me for mangling my French, but I've been here a long time. So this was such a. I thought it'd be. I didn't think it would be that big a hit. I thought it was cute, amusing. Didn't really have me rolling in the aisles, and I thought the audience was kind of cold. But somebody warmed to it because they're
doing
it. Yeah. It's an adaptation of an old Alfred Hitchcock film, but done for laughs. And it's kind of fun. You should check it out. The 39 Steps, now playing at the Court Theater. Another show that's coming in next season is a revival of Equus, the horse drama.
Oh, that finally is making it with Harry Potter.
Yes, they'll be horsing around with Daniel Radcliffe and, of course, the big... stink about him, not the big stink, but the big hoo-ha, was that when he was in England, and assumedly when he's here, he has a nude scene. So you get to see Harry's Potter's. Or whatever.
Harry Potter's peony.
Oh, that's right. His Hermione. No. Nothing you can... His Hagrid?
His Hermione Dingle.
That's right. His... anyway. So, that's going to be opening in the early fall, September, October, at the Broadhurst Theater.
It's his HPP.
his Lovecraft. I don't even know. And co-starring with Daniel Radcliffe in Equus will be Richard Griffiths, Tony winner for the History Boys. So he goes from molesting
and child molesters everywhere will be coming to see it.
Now he plays a kid who's still a little bit too a shrink who's still a little bit close to a young man. I don't know. Anyway,
which was formal when I saw it. It was played by Richard Burton, by the way.
You saw Burton in it.
I saw it.
Was he great?
He was amazing. Amazing. What presence.
Was he a great actor, or did you just, the voice, you just was like, oh, it's Richard Burton?
He had a presence.
Yeah.
It was just, which made him a great actor.
Hmm.
But it was Burton.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and I never got it until I saw him on stage. And it's like, great, great actors just have a presence that mesmerize you and will not let you leave their performance, which was what makes them great performers.
and Burton Haggard that night.
Oh, my God. That night and every night since. I mean, I heard he always gave great performances.
That's great. That's, well, hopefully Richard Griffiths, I don't think he'll be quite as commanding. It might be a different take on it, but we'll see. A show that I did not get to see off-Broadway that I really wanted to, I'm so happy, is going to be coming to Broadway next season, Dividing the Estate, a comedy drama by Horton Foote, which was a big hit last year at the primary stages off-Broadway, coming to Broadway in October with Lincoln Center sponsoring the move, bringing the original cast back, including Hallie Foote, who is the author's daughter, and the director, Michael Wilson. Now, this came out of the blue, this next story, this a musical that's coming to Broadway, not next season, but right now. And a month ago, nobody even heard of it or knew anything about it. A show called Glory Glory. And it was this big hit out of the Signature Theater in Arlington, Virginia. And they're sneaking it in there. They're running it in there before the end of the Voting for Tony Awards so it can go up for this season's prizes at Circle in the Square, which was where 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee had been. It's Eric Schaefer, who's the artistic director of Signature Theater's directing. And the cool thing about the show, it's a musical. I guess now that they've got Passing Strange on Broadway and they've got In the Heights and Rent still, everything's kind of opening up a little bit. They're taking these chances and bringing in real blasts of fresh air. Well, the folks who wrote Glory Glory are in their 20s.
My goodness.
So envious. Anyway, someone who's not in his 20s, but I think wrote a play, this play, in his 20s, David Mamet, is going to have a revival of American Buffalo.
Again.
Well, it's been...
That stupid nickel.
The Pacino one was a few years back. It was over a decade ago, so...
Well, I saw the Pacino one. I saw the original with... who was the original?
Joe Mantegna. No.
No.
Who was... It would have been a bunch of Chicago people. Was it Sinise?
No. It was someone who was fairly well known.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they're bringing American Buffalo back, and this time in the Al Pacino part, because we think of it as an Al Pacino role, John Leguizamo.
Really?
Interesting.
Really interesting.
Could come back in the fall with American Buffalo. Now, a show that, I guess, congratulations are in order. How is this for a year, it's broken into 2 years now. You get a play, it's a huge hit in Chicago, so it comes to Broadway. Big hit on Broadway, but it has to close because another show's coming in. But it's such a big hit that they move it to another theater, and it's still a hit. Big epic drama. So all this is going on, and then the playwright's own father is starring in the show, at least in one act of the three acts of this epic. And all this is going on, and he wins the Pulitzer Prize last week.
Oh, it did.
Osage County, Tracy Letts drama on Broadway, won the Pulitzer Prize. The only thing is, somewhere in the middle there, his father died. So what an amazing parabola of ups and downs for poor Tracy Letts. But, well, not poor Tracy, he just won the Pulitzer, which the runners-up for the prize were Christopher Shin's play, Dying City, and a play I liked quite a lot, David Henry Wang's Yellow Face.
Oh.
That was really clever and smart, and I'm glad I saw that one. But congratulations to Tracy Letts on the Pulitzer Prize for drama. Another show that's definitely destined for Broadway, another musical, has made more specific inroads as to what it's going to be doing coming up to Broadway. 9 to 5. The Dolly Parton musical will premiere at the Amundsen Theater in L.A. in the fall. It's got music, the songs are by Dolly Parton, and the book by the woman who wrote the screenplay for the big hit film. Among the people in the cast of 9 to 5 seem to be Allison Janney, whom I really like a whole lot. She was from West Wing and a bunch of off-Broadway stuff. And Mark Kudisch is going to play the Dabney Coleman role of the evil boss who's oppressing all these poor women. That's 9 to 5, also due for Broadway in the fall. And how's the... Tell me about
Hey,
this
Dave.
One. Yeah, yeah.
Hold on. Let me just...
Do we have an audio clip of 9 to 5?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does it star Carol? Oh, no, what's this? Who's doing it? Is it Bill Hung? Wait, are they rehearsing? Is that the rehearsing the Broadway 9 to 5?
Can you hear it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But all you hear is sort of the vamp. That's not Dolly. Who is that?
I think it's rehearsing
from the show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But who do they? Do you know who's playing the Dolly Parton part there? No. It's a little slow. Yeah. Anyway, that's, well, that is the song 9 to 5, which of course they're going to be doing on Broadway. We have another clip?
Oh, this is that one.
Yeah. Oh, I hear tapping. Or is that a typewriter going?
Like a typewriter. Enough.
Oh, so a lot of people dancing, obviously, on the stage. Is it in a rehearsal hall, or where is it?
No, it's on...
Jeff, they can't see it. All they can do is hear what
I know,
the
it's
audio.
A stage production.
Where? Is it on a stage, or is it in a rehearsal hall?
Stage, nice.
Cool. Yeah, this has more oomph.
Who says you're going to like it?
Why is that?
Sexy Secretary.
Oh, I hope so.
Okay, that'll be enough of that.
A little bit of 9 to 5 there. And hopefully it'll be good. They'll try it out at L.A.'s Amundsen, and then it'll come to Broadway. Do you know what else is going to be coming to Broadway? A show that they were talking about.
The Wiz? Is The Wiz coming?
No, not The Wiz. Haven't heard anything about that. But this one, nobody thought this was going to happen. But the musical version of the movie, The Night They Raided Minsky's, is going to happen. They've renamed it Minsky's. And it's going to premiere again at L.A.'s Amundsen in winter of 2009. It's got a new book by Bob Martin. He was the guy who wrote the Drowsy Chaperone book.
Oh.
And a score by Charles Strauss and Susan Birkenhead. The movie, do you know who directed The Night They Raided Minsky's, which was a comedy with Jason Robards about the last days of burlesque?
No, I don't really remember.
Oddest person you would think to do that, William Friedkin, who's best known for directing The French Connection. So kind of an odd choice there. But anyway.
Oh, I got something.
All right, let's make it quick.
Hey, kid, come on down.
Is this from the movie?
The movie. Yeah.
Cool.
I tell him a place to have a dressing room in it. It's disgraceful. A man like you should have a suite. From head to toe, you're a gentleman.
Is that Robards?
Yeah. I don't care what they say. Mornings and evenings, impeccably dressed. Stains on your tie match the soup on your vest. From stem to stern, you're a gentleman. That's what drives the girls mad. Breeding and quality, touch of frivolity. You're a superior.
I don't know who the other person is.
I hope they write better songs for the stage part. Yeah.
What?
I hope they have better songs for the staging of it. Anyway, Minsky is going to be, assumedly, on the track for Broadway. It's going to L.A. in the winter of 2009, but figure it'll come to Broadway maybe in 2010 if things work out. Now, something that is leaving Broadway officially, this was announced that Curtains is going to be closing on June 29th after 511 performances.
Curtains for Curtains.
Staying with the show until it's closed, and they were there from the very beginning, are David Hyde Pierce, Deborah Monk, Karen Ziemba, Jason Danieli, Edward Hibbert and Aaron Davey. So it's kind of a cute show. I would recommend seeing it once. It won't be top of my list, but it was Kander and Ebb's last musical, and worth seeing for that. And there's some good stuff in it. And finally, in just the news part, although, there's more. I got to rush this up. A new musical called Tale of Two Cities is coming. It did well in Sarasota, Florida, and it's booked for the Al Hirschfeld Theater. It will be one of the very first Broadway shows of next season. It's going to open September 18th. In fact, once Curtin's announced it was closing, that made room for Tale of Two Cities in that theater. It's got some serious designers, Tony Walton, Richard Pilbrow doing the light. He's brilliant. What have you got? What have you got?
I got an interview. Come on, keep going. It's about another new musical.
Another new musical. Oh, well, the one other thing I want to say about about Tale of Two Cities is the star is currently pulling some curtains in jail. It's James Barber. He's the guy who dallied in the dressing room with that underage girl and got 60 days and all that probation time. So, but they kept him. You know, so he will have done his time by then. But I kind of, with all those school matinees... For a show like Tale of Two Cities, I don't know.
There will be no visiting James Barber.
That's for sure. Well, what do you plan?
Well, you tell me.
No, I wish it was. I wanted to be a drape, but my parents wouldn't let me. You know, I was a closet drape and a drape sympathizer, and there was my whole block was square, but one drape was across the street.
Oh, a crybaby. That's John Waters?
Where the idea came from.
Crybaby's opening in a couple of weeks or in a week.
What inspired the Broadway musicals, asked of John Waters?
Well, you know, it was a musical in the beginning when I made the movie, and, you know, Hairspray was really a dance movie. Crybaby had original music in it. It's certainly been not the music that's been Broadway. It's another reinvention, basically, of always trying to take one idea and turning it into the next step, which is what's happening with Crybaby right now.
So that's an interview with John Waters, who directed the original movie of Crybaby, and now they've made a musical of it. And that's happening just a week or two away from now. Other stuff that is going on Broadway, or will be, by the way, this, you missed this when you were in Vegas. You remember how sad you were that Rent is going away?
I didn't miss it. They're extending it.
They're extending Rent instead of to June 1st. They're carrying it all the way past Labor Day to September 7th.
Oh, and, no, I missed that.
Yeah. So Rent... You've got the whole summer. People who bought tickets for the last week of it, thinking it would be the last week, they're going to exchange it so people can be there for, like, you know, the big historical thing. There's so much news. Another musical. You know what's going into the Lyceum Theater after Macbeth closes, which I want to talk about if we have a little time? Title of Show.
Oh,
the off-Broadway show.
I think that's
what
great.
What a surprise. Again, Broadway... reaching out towards new and unusual and different kinds of young musicals. I think it's a good sign. And that, I think, is going to be the first official show of 2008 and 2009. And then one last bit of something that may be coming up. Al Pacino. We were talking about him because he was in American Buffalo. He may return to Broadway. They've been talking about this for a couple of years. In Orphans, the Lyle Kessler weird comedy drama about two young hoodlums who need a father figure, so they kidnap somebody to be him. And, of course, the kidnappee would be Al Pacino. Anyway, those, my God, so much news inside Broadway. We'll be back with a couple of quick reviews from Broadway right after this message.
Let's start at the very beginning.
Whether you're at the very beginning, the middle, or the end of the Broadway season, everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance is in the pages of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Available 21 times a year or just in the monthly edition. Either way, Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off. So subscribe now to Performing Arts Insider and find out all the information at PerformingArtsInsider.com.
I'll make it easier for you.
Thank you so much, Rebecca Luker, for making it easier for us here in the neighborhood. Just have a couple of minutes to talk about a couple of shows on and off Broadway. I want to give a quick review of a show I saw this week, Macbeth. I hope it's not going to be a cursed thing that I said the name on the air, but that's the version that was playing at the Brooklyn Academy of Music a couple of weeks ago. It got some pretty excited reviews, and they moved it very quickly to Broadway with Patrick Stewart, of course, him from Star Trek and all that, and Kate Fleetwood playing Lady Macbeth. And it's directed by Rupert Gould, and it's a very modern production. It's got the video screens, it's got a lot of noise and a lot of sound effects and a lot of hoo-ha, like the three crazy weird sisters, the witches, are actually three nurses in this underground kind of lair, and they also play nurses who are cutting up victims of things. And I don't know, it's Macbeth is actually one of the shorter Shakespeare plays, and yet this one takes almost 3 hours, and it's not supposed to. It's only supposed to take two. It really is only supposed to take 2.5 hours to do Macbeth, and this one just kind of. Then they even repeat a scene, and it sort of works, but it's sort of like it's long enough already. Just before intermission, they have the scene where it's a nice banquet and they're celebrating, and then he sees the ghost of the person he murdered. Macbeth does. And then they come back right after intermission and do the whole scene again, except this time, like, you're watching one part of the stage is silent, and then you're seeing what's on the periphery. What's happening is you're supposed to realize he's going mad, because in one scene you see the knives behind the witch's backs, and the knives are gone. And one time you see the ghost, and then the next time there is no ghost, and he's just reacting to nothing. So it's an interesting...
Is this full of bubble, toil, and trouble?
Well, they do that as a rap version. I wasn't too crazy about that.
Oh, my God.
But some of it really worked. Some of it was just, like, really loud. And they learned a little too much from the downtown avant-garde. It was like Worcester Street, the Worcester Group, without the quotation marks. It was just in-your-face noise, TV screens, but not so totally integrated.
And it
didn't
add much to the play.
Sometimes, well, no, Macbeth is Macbeth. How much are you going to add to it? Just comment on it.
And how was
Stuart is a very, very good actor. He's a very commanding actor. And he does play it as some critics, and I don't know what they were seeing, where they said he came out immediately and was a lunatic and was crazy and was no place for him to go. Absolutely not. I agree with Ben Brantley that he came out, he was undecided like Hamlet. It was his wife. That's the story. His wife pushes him into being a murderous ghoul. And he's, even once he is, there are moments when he goes backwards and is like, oh my God, I'm really going to be cursed for doing this stuff. So I cannot really recommend Macbeth. I can recommend if you could leave at intermission, see what you need to see, got a sense of the play, and then didn't really have to stick around for the whole thing. And just lower the volume, people. Don't slam everything in our faces.
That's a big problem in tons of productions these days.
Of Shakespeare too. This was like part two of that Julius Caesar they did with.
Wasn't that horrible?
What was his name?
Denzel Washington.
That one I left at intermission.
Denzel Washington.
It wasn't horrible. It moved. It was because it was in your face. It grabbed you, but it was like, okay, enough. If you have to wake me, it's like Richard Foreman plays. If you have to keep me in my seat just by shocking me every 10 minutes with a loud boom or bang, I don't want to be there.
And you don't like gunshots, do you?
Exactly. Well, what do you got here?
No, I was going to interrupt you with just one or two songs, but go ahead.
No. Unfortunately, don't have time for that. Don't even have time for any other reviews. So, Macbeth, well, at least that's the way I feel when I go inside Broadway. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Hey, all you swinging hep cats, hep kittens, and HEPA filters, have I got a cool book for you. It's called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. It's published by Holbo Books, and it's got a bunch of comedies in there by Dave Lefkowitz, the host of Dave's Gone By. I think you'll find them funny, so cats and kittens, give it a look. DavesGoneBy.org is the cool place to go for Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Eat, use, buy, buy. Look at me. I'm the American consumer, and I want to spend my money on stores, restaurants, showrooms, travel agencies, mail order catalogs. Sell me stuff. How do you reach me? Well, I listen to Dave's Gone By. So, if you advertise there, you'll certainly have my attention. Dave'sGoneBy.org has all the details, or email Dave'sGoneBy@AOL.com for the rate card. I'm listening. Sell me what you got. And what we got, ladies and gentlemen, is the last, final, and closing wonderful minutes of Dave's Gone By tonight on this April 13th. It is, it's 12:01 a.m. on WGBB Freeport.
It's late.
It's late. We have to go, but not before we thank our sponsors, who are...
MortgagesRock.com.
MortgagesRock.com. Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway.
Right next to Lohman's Shoes.
Yeah, but you don't get 10% off at Lohman's Shoes if you mention Dave's Gone By, but you do get it at any job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press. And any discounts this week at Fancy Schmancy Balloons?
Sure.
What?
23.5%.
23.5% all week long if you get your balloons and centerpieces at Fancy Schmancy Balloons. 516-797-3229 is the phone number.
And Dave, how's that Bible of Broadway going?
Performing Arts Insider. Everybody. Go to the website, because, especially go to davesgoneby.org, because Dave's Gone By listeners get a really great deal on Performing Arts Insider, $115 for the annual for 12 monthly issues.
And that's almost free, if you think about it.
Well, it sounds, it is an expensive magazine, but normally it's $165.
That's what I'm saying.
So you're really getting a great break off the newsstand price, off the subscription price.
Well, I go down to the drama bookstore and buy it one thing at an issue at a time.
Yeah.
When you can get it mailed right to your house.
And much cheaper. That's the point. Everybody, check it out, performingartsinsider.com and davesgoneby.org. And thank you also, of course, to our brand new and wonderful and delicious sponsors, Neva Market, 1239 Broadway in Hewlett.
Neva.
Named after the Russian River, Neva. 516-295-3892 is the phone number, and they're open 7 days a week, even though it's kind of a Jewish thing. They are open on Saturdays. Anytime you need anything, noodles for cooking, sausage.
I always need noodles for cooking.
Yeah, who doesn't? And the yogurts and things like that. Check it out. You really don't have another place like this unless you go to Brighton Beach. Neva Market on Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island. Reminding everybody to catch the rabbi. Rabbi Saul Solomon, such a delightful guest as, well, he isn't always delightful, but he was delightful tonight. So you can see him on TV Wednesdays and Fridays, 7:30 in the morning on Cablevision Channel 115, and also in Manhattan on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, Sundays at 1:30 in the afternoon on Channel 67.
You're also going to see him live at Temple Judea.
When is that?
That's
coming up, man.
It's like the first Sunday in May or something like that.
That's coming up very quickly. That's scary. Okay.
Well, maybe the first Saturday in May. Call Temple Judea to see when you can see Solomon
live in person.
At the Silver Shekel Saloon.
Tumbling with the people, like doing a little shtick, doing a little fun.
He'll marry you if you want.
Well, I'm already married to my...
He'll marry, he'll marry the two of you.
Two other people, yeah. But remember, you'll
be performing weddings and divorces.
The rabbi's show every, any day, day or night, 24/7 on YouTube.com. Reminding everybody a couple of things. Marilyn May is back at the Metropolitan Room, 34 West 22nd Street, from April 8th to the 16th, so you have a couple more nights to see her.
Excellent.
The gorgeous and delightful, pardon me, Maud Maggart is doing Speaking of Dreams at the Algonquin Oak Room through May 10th.
Really?
She's lovely. And she's Fiona Apple's sister. And they're both talented in very different musical ways.
Gorgeous.
Well, she's hit the big time. Maud Maggart. Yeah. What?
It's the big time.
Big time, yeah. By the way, if you like the show, if you don't like the show, either way, I want to know about it. Dave'sGoneBy@AOL.com is the place to write. Dave, like my name, Dave'sGoneBy@AOL.com. Remember that you can still see or listen to 25 previous episodes of Dave's Gone by going to davesgoneby.org, and that's not counting all these new recent episodes that they have at WGBB's website, am1240wgbb.com. And one other thing I want to tell you, if you like what I do on the radio and you like my musical taste, Listen to Filler Up. Every week, I'm never sure when to tell you when it's on the station, and that's because...
It's rotating.
Not only that, they put it on a couple of times a week. So you can hear it Tuesdays at 9:30 at night, Wednesdays at 9, and Saturdays at 9:30.
You can get filled up by day.
On WGBB. The best place to go is AM 1240, WGBB.com to check their schedule. Okay, got to do some quick thank yous. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rabbi Saul. Thank you to Neil Carlin, author of The Story of Yiddish.
Thank you, Neil.
It's really good. Joyce Weil, my beloved, adorable, and wonderful
Everybody
wife.
Loves Joyce.
Who doesn't? Everybody loves.
And at that point, let's thank Joyce Baxter for bearing with me in Vegas.
In Las Vegas, that's right. And thank you, Jeff Goodman, for joining me on Dave's Gone By tonight. Thanks to my mom and dad. Love you guys.
Thanks to the people in Vegas, especially.
Yeah. Well, and I want to send, I should also say, I want to send out my best wishes to Justin Cirillo. He's a staffer at WGBB. I've been here since 1 o'clock in the afternoon because I took his shift today. He has a hospital thingy. He should be fine, but hopefully back next week. So
get well soon, Justin.
Now, as far as upcoming weeks on Dave's Gone By, we've got Dennis Damp, who is the author of a book on how to get a government job and why you should do that. We've got Gary Lucas.
I would love to know that one.
Exactly. Gary Lucas is a guitarist par excellence who worked on two Captain Beefheart albums.
Related to George Lucas?
Not that I know of, no. Christopher Shaw, who contributed to a book, a really cool and funny book, of New York Post classic headlines. That should be a lot of fun.
Hopefully we'll be hearing from Rita Rudner soon.
That would be cool, too. And what we are going to do next week, I won't be here live in the studio because of the Passover holiday, but finally, as promised, highlights from the WGBB 2007 into 8 New Year's program. Jeff was part of it. My wife was with me in studio, and there's a lot of cool and funny stuff. So we've got so much of it. We're going to chop them into a couple of episodes. But next week we'll be on tape, but it will be a new show. Something we haven't played before.
Is it going to be 269? We're not going to be here for 269.
We won't be. I won't. You can show up, but I'll be home at a Seder.
I'll be at a Seder too.
Who there you go. Anyway, we will be back on tape next Sunday, April 20th. With the 269th episode, as you said, of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff, been there, done that in Vegas, Goodman.
Wishing you good night. Soll sein mit Masel und sei gesund.
And good gone by.